to everyone here at Generations Community Church and some of you folks who are on Zoom as well. We welcome you. Those of you who are at our Bible study on Wednesday night on the Holy Spirit, you might remember we had those verses that we were reading, all to do with the relationship between the word spirit and the word power. And Millie, bless her heart, had been writing down what people were reading from these verses. And I said, Millie, would you mind sharing that with me in an email? And she did. And she wrote this. She said, when we humble ourselves and admit that we need the power of the Holy Spirit, things can happen. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness, do good, and heal. He also gives us deep conviction, love, and self-discipline, among many other things. Wow. All right. Thanks, Millie. I appreciate that. And there's a plug for the Wednesday night Bible study again, too, if you want to come and join us. All right. Now, I have to warn you. I must give you this warning. You are about to listen to the longest sermon you have ever heard in your life. Yep. They all look really excited here. I don't know about you folks at home. Well, it occurred to me that here we are at, 4 minutes after 11 o'clock in the morning. This sermon will not be finished until the spring of 2022. Is that not the cheesiest introduction? I don't know. I just thought it was the other day. 11:33 this morning, spring arrives. Okay, so you'll be able to tell people that that sermon was so long. How long was it? It took two whole seasons to get through it. And as we continue our series on old roads that still lead home, ancient wisdom from the Hebrew Scriptures, I'm actually going to start with something that happened on a recent road, actually Highway 403. And a drive that Mary and I took to Ancaster to visit our daughter Sarah this week, where she's working at Redeemer University. But first off, we're going to be looking at Psalm 73. So if you want to find Psalm 73, in fact, we're probably going to read it in its entirety this morning, the whole thing through. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Now, when we think about the Psalms, we often think, you know, of King David. I mean, he wrote most of them, but not all of them. And there are a couple of people named Asaph in the Bible. And this particular Asaph, he wrote at least a half dozen, and maybe even more of the Psalms, depending on which Asaph is which. And he was the son of Berechiah, family of Gershom, and he ministered with David, with two others. So he was among three musicians that ministered with David, and actually with David and also in the time of Solomon, he was a worship leader. And he led the worship in the tent where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And you know what? I was telling the guys earlier, I have these loaner hearing aids, and let me just pull them out because they're having fun with some other sounds that are going on. There we are. Are y'all still here? Oh, good, yeah. Asaph, a worship leader, has written this psalm. In fact, I've often thought about Psalm 73. It's a classic example in the Bible of what we call a psalm of lament. People crying out, pouring out their hearts to the Lord. And not always, you know, in proper Christian language, I might add. In fact, never. No, they just tell it like it is. And it's unvarnished. You know, God, where are you? How long? What are you going to do about my enemies? What's going on? It is not edited for all ages reading. And a couple things this week have got me wondering if this is not exactly the kind of psalm that we need to spend a little time in this morning. The weight right? Being able to see right there on our TV screens what is happening in our world today, especially in Ukraine. And as we were sharing in our Bible study this week, you know, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit in these days, days that have caused so much heaviness in so many hearts over the past couple of years in particular. Where do we go from here? Which I think is the book that the women are studying at the Hanley's house, right? Where do we go from here? To whom are we going to take our burdens to? Asaph is going to give us a great reminder. And you can probably already guess this has something to do with God. But before we read, let me take you down a newer road in the Bible. Now, something Jesus said in the New Testament, John chapter 15, you don't have to turn there since you already found Psalm 73. We'll put it up on the screen if we've got them. And you know these words, John 15, verse 1 and 2. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. Now, I mentioned a road to Ancaster, Ontario. Mary and I were driving this week, and we thought we would listen on Sirius XM to a sermon by Joel Osteen. Now, it's kind of like Moses in the Red Sea, right? As soon as you mention Joel Osteen, there are people on this side who will say, oh, I love that guy! Other people over here who will say, why in the world is he talking about him? And granted, there are several things that I don't see eye to eye on with the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. I mean, maybe you've heard of some teaching, it's in Christian circles, called Word of Faith, right? The idea that our words have power to manipulate or even create such things as health and wealth. I mean, you declare it, you say it enough, and God has to do it. It's not biblical. Oh, I have friends that believe it. First of all, well, God doesn't have to do anything. He's God. But secondly, and for sure, God's word has power. Pat Murphy's words, well, not so much. But as I think about the parting of the waters that I mentioned, you know, Moses going across the Red Sea, I can recognize when someone is saying something good and when they're saying something not good, right? And we are all a mixture of that. By the way, that's why you always need to check everything that I say with the Bible, always. But I try to walk down that dry, solid ground in the middle, avoiding extremes. I know when people like Joel Osteen are saying something, better turn off the radio or the TV. But I also know when sometimes he's saying something that is actually true to the Word of God. And I want to be absolutely fair, because he does. In fact, I find especially among televangelists, right, the people you see on TV, the ones who, by the way, forget that they have a microphone, so they just have to yell at the TV screen. And then, of course, you want to yell back at the TV screen? Stop yelling, I can hear you. I believe it is hard to find a more encouraging speaker sometimes than Joel Osteen when it comes to television preachers. Oh, maybe Bobby Shuler. You ever watch Bobby Shuler in the Hour of Power? He's a good guy. Charles Stanley, of course. But sometimes Joel says something I need to hear, and he was sharing a story about a time that he had some bushes, some little bushes and little trees at his house, and they didn't seem to be doing well. And so he thought he would call in a professional gardener, an arborist, just some advice on, you know, I know these plants can do better. How do I get them to grow? And the man who came was looking it over, and he said, well, Mr. Osteen, you're not going to like this, but I've got to prune these plants. I mean, I've got to really cut them back. In fact, when I'm done, they're going to look pretty ugly. But you just wait. A year from now, the growth is going to be there. Well, old Joel figured I could take some shears to these things, but that wouldn't be good either. So he decided to let the man go ahead. Cut them back, prune them, just as Jesus said the gardener does for us. And sure enough, they looked pretty scrubby there for about a year. And then they came in so much better than he could have imagined. And of course, he made an application with that, as you can imagine. And that is that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I'm being cut back. Pruning isn't a fun thing. Maybe God is just cutting me out of the vineyard. As we were listening to it and as he finished, Mary turned to me in the car and she said, you know, all through that sermon I was thinking about you. And I said, well, okay, really the scruffy hair, I understand. But I said, you know what? I was thinking about me too. Now, you know, in the last couple of years, I got let go from two jobs. I had two part-time jobs to make ends meet. Well, suddenly the ends didn't meet anymore. And I lost two jobs. And thankfully, not only was God faithful to me, but I had some very faithful friends as well that saw me through it. But you know, the thing was, is that these were Christian organizations. In the one case, what they did wasn't entirely legal. In the other case, it wasn't at all fair. And I suppose I could have maybe even made a case in court, in the courts of law. In fact, one of the people that was let go at the same time I was, they did just that. But I thought, no, I mean, God's the judge, he knows. And plus, in the case of both, I've managed to have a relationship again with, in one case, the new management that has come in. And in another case, not quite as good, but some relationship restored there. And I could not have told you, like much more than a year ago, that I'd be doing this, that I'd be here doing this and loving it. I don't know if you ever watched Get Smart on TV. It's maybe you wasted your life like I did. I don't know. But have you too felt like you have been cut back? You know, why is God letting this happen? Things were going so well. Well, maybe he's angry with me. Well, let me tell you, if you have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father has not cut you out of his vineyard. Now, myself, in fact, nobody, no one else can promise that, oh, you just wait a year from now. I can't promise you that. Maybe the next few years? Hey, it's God, for that matter. Maybe even next week. Things can suddenly turn around. God can change things in a moment. Now, I don't know. But whatever cutting back you may have been experiencing, the gardener's goal is to make you more fruitful for his glory. And it's his glory. That's what has to be most important to us. It isn't just so you can fulfill all your goals. But as one of his branches, I encourage you, keep abiding. Remain in the vine. His work is not done in your life. Which leads me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 in verse 1. And first of all, it just begins with a true statement. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. You've heard people say, God is good, and you answer them back by saying, all the time. Yeah, amen. But Asaph says, for me, oh, my feet had almost slipped. He forgot that, didn't he? He said, I'd nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. Well, that's what they want you to see online. If you've ever tried keeping up with the Kardashians or not, I don't know. But they don't show you everything. They show you the best self. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Ooh, pride comes. And you know, there's a problem with pride, several of course, but the big problem comes in the next part of this verse, as you can see up there on the screen. In the last days, Paul mentions it to Timothy. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. The word there for perilous is found only one other place in the Bible. It's in Matthew's gospel, where he's talking about that man who was demon-possessed. And it says he was full of violence. And Paul is saying, in the last days, violent times are coming. Is that not true? Pride leads to violence. It's something they clothe themselves in. And so from their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limit. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. We're seeing it in a worldwide way right now. Now, this is a great verse. Verse 9, their mouths lay claim to heaven. Have you ever noticed? Nobody's going to hell anymore. You ever notice that? Everybody's going to heaven. Now, I believe in the wideness and the mercy of God. It is not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Jesus spoke about hell. In fact, John, we were mentioning him from Revelation, some of the things he saw. You know, there are people who are going to be so not interested in God, so willing to shake their little fists at him, that he will have no other recourse but to cast them into a lake of fire. But nobody talks about that, not in the church. Well, I just did. Because it needs to be talked about. But look at this. If we can bring back that verse again. Verse number 9. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. So everything they talk about, you know, they talk about, oh yeah, no, heaven, everybody goes to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. I know that. Well, that's probably true. But anyway, but their mouths, right? What they do with their mouths, their tongues, what they eat, what they consume, what they take in, what they taste, it's all of the earth. That's where their interest lies, all of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. If you just say the things that people's itching ears want to hear, you will always have a crowd. You will always have a crowd. Just say what they want to hear. Their people turn to them and drink up the waters in abundance, but they're going to be thirsty again, aren't they? They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything, if there is a God? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence, says Asaph. Man, have I ever been an idiot to try and follow God? All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. You know, some people went to bed last night and they were not looking forward to even waking up this morning. Now let me just pause there for a moment. Verse 15, it says, if I'd spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. Listen, you know, there are some things you just can't tell everybody, right? You can't tell everybody. People can't handle everything going on in your life. But as many as the Psalms show us, these psalms of lament. While you can't tell people everything, there is nothing that you cannot share with God. It's like a toddler, so frustrated, so angry, something's going wrong. Oh, some kid in the sandbox wasn't, and they're just beating their little fists on Dad's chest. I am so angry. And Dad is holding it as these little fists come, and then finally, the little fists. And Dad says, "That's okay. That's okay. I gotcha." God lets us do that until we just collapse in our Father's arms. Now, when I got to this point in my reading of Psalm 73 this week, I thought about a story. Now, you may have heard this story, but you can't stop me anyway. But it's a well-known story. In fact, I believe it is based on some truth. But it goes back a long, long time, either to the late 1800s or maybe into the early part of the 20th century. But there's a story of a missionary couple. They were an elderly couple. They had spent their whole lives on the mission field in a foreign land, probably through parts of the 1800s into the 1900s. They didn't have the modern conveniences like we have. They couldn't just call somebody up on a cell phone or, hey, check them out on Zoom just to talk to the people back home. They were there their whole lives. And now they're coming home. It's been a difficult time. They also live in a day and age when there's no pension plans, there's no old age security. They're not sure how they're going to survive even, but here they come on a big ship back across the Atlantic Ocean back to America where they lived. Now, on that boat, there was a very important person. And I can't remember now if it was it might have even been the president of the United States, I'm not sure, or some governor, or you know, some official, right? Some important person. And so when the boat docked and they were starting to let people off, they held everybody on the boat back so this important person and his family could walk down the gangplank. And they walked down the gangplank, and as they did, there was a brass band down there, right? And you know, back in those days, those men wore those straw hats. So they were just flinging their hats into the air, woo-hoo, whooping it up because here he is. You know, and he come down the plank. And as he goes away, all the crowds kind of go and the band stops playing. And he's escorted into some big black limousine or something maybe, or a horse-drawn carriage, and off he goes, triumphant. And then they let all the regular people come off the boat. And as the elderly man is coming down there with his wife, she sees something in his eyes, and she says, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I don't know. Did we waste our lives? Did we waste our lives? All those hard years. We had a couple of converts. They ended up burying one of their children over there." He said, "Here we are. We've served the Lord all these years. Where's somebody to greet us? There's no band playing. There's nobody tossing their hats in the air. There's nobody applauding us, welcoming us home." He said, "Where's God? Does he even care? Has he forgotten us? What are we going to do now? Nobody's here to welcome us home except that guy, and I wouldn't have even voted for him." And then his wife, you know, her arm in his, said, he said, "Darling, don't forget. You're not home yet. You're not home yet." Right? That important person, right? His reward is in full. He's not getting anything else. Listen, in this life, of course, we don't have all the answers. We don't have all our ducks in a row. God does not reveal everything. In verse 16 of this psalm, Asaph said, "When I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God." In fact, let's look at verse 17 for just a moment, because I was really kind of surprised here in the NIV. They have the word till. And it's not even an apostrophe, T-I-L. It's just till. Is that even a word? But anyway, I was thinking of the word until. Until. And I missed that because I took these things out. Until. You know, when I entered the sanctuary of God, let me just say to you right here, when we draw near to God, our perspective changes. When we fix our eyes on Him, right, as the old song said, you know, we turn our eyes on Jesus, we look full in His wonderful face, suddenly all these things tend to lose something of our attention. Psalm 73, and I'll even read verse 16 again. He said, "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors." They're like a dream when one awakens. You know, I was thinking of that song, "Dust in the Wind, All We Are is Dust in the Wind." "And not another minute will all their money buy." Dust in the wind. "When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." You ever been in that position where, you know, you're just so, everything's just so bad, you say things you don't mean. You just roll stuff out of your mouth that you don't really mean to say. That's what Asaph was like. I was like a brute beast before you. "Yet," now he's starting to remember, "yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." That missionary couple, they didn't get the brass band and the cheering crowds. But Peter tells us that someday, for those of us whose faith and trust is in Christ, there will be a rich welcome in the kingdom of heaven. A rich welcome. So he says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you." By the way, we never talk about people perishing with any sort of glee, right? There ought to always be as Moody once said, you never preach about hell without a tear in your eye, right? Like, there ought to always be a sadness because people are missing out when they're not following Christ. He said, "Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God." Isn't it? "I made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Hey, have you fallen for somebody's online presentation of themselves? James Dobson used to always say, you know, the problem with us sometimes is that we start to believe our own press release. Have you started believing even your own press release? All airbrushed and photographed in the best light. Let me finish with this little thought. It came to me the other day as I was trying to sum all of this up for you and me. You know, difficulties in life, they're not promoted much. Not in the world, and especially not in the church. Difficulties? Are you crazy? No, 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 not in God's vocabulary. You just pray that away. Declare it. And we ignore the realities of life so much that you may have found yourselves beginning to wonder, hey, what's wrong with me? Wait a second, what am I doing wrong? I hear these testimonies of people, they talk about how their life is just, whoa, one miracle after another, hearing from God every day. What about me? God's not working in my life like I'm seeing other people work. I must be really bad. You ever been in that place where you've bought into somebody's puffed up things of what they claim to have seen? Now, you can't dwell on this too much. All right? It does get overwhelming. But it occurred to me. And I got to share this actually just this week. A buddy of mine and I were out for coffee, and he shared something really difficult going on in his life right now. Nobody here, so don't think, you know, whatever it's him. No, but got a chance to share this with him because he's going through a hard time. And I've been telling it to myself all week long. It's this. If we are active participants in what God is doing in the world, because not everybody is. The majority, maybe, here in Canada, they're just fine, you know, with a nice service on a Sunday morning. Well, as long as they don't have something better to do, right? Monday, I get back to the real important stuff happening in my life, but, you know, I do the religious thing. No, if you are actively seeking the Lord, actively pursuing Him. Like I said last week, if you are a lifelong learner and lover and pursuer of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God that dwells within you, if you have made that your life's priority, again, not everybody has, but if you have, if your life is that delightful pursuit, right, that joyful even pursuit, even in difficulties, but you know God is real and He's with you, then you will find yourself in a battle, maybe several. You know, throughout the earth, there is this struggle going on between the forces of light and the forces of evil. You know that. In fact, as the Scripture teaches us, that battle's going on right inside of us. My spirit with His. Who am I going to let be God today, right? It fights inside me. We all experience that. All that is common. It's true of every man and woman who is a follower of Jesus. As Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome that world. So may we all learn from Asaph. First, to pour out, cry out to God. Tell Him everything that bothers you. Stuff you wouldn't share with anybody else. You can tell Him everything. He can handle all of that. Beat your little fists if you want. He's fine. And never forget, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that in the Bible is full of real people. People who are just like us. Father, how often we don't even want to be like us, and yet you love us. You love us. You've come to rescue us. And ultimately, we know, ultimately we have a rich welcome in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I want to just pray for all of us, really. Everybody here, everybody on Zoom, myself included, because it's so easy to look at the successful people of the world and figure, well, maybe we're wasting our time following God. Maybe there isn't anything in this Christian life. And yet, Lord, I'm thinking of two men who've gone on to be with the Lord this week, And we prayed for Niall, Evie, my friend Bob Hanna, 97 years of age. Used to listen to little songs that I used to do on Facebook every Sunday. His son would bring his iPad in and play Bob my little song, and he was encouraged by it, and it encouraged me. Lord, these men have known. They know it today. They did not waste their lives serving you, even when there were difficulties in their life, even when their health was failing, when they couldn't do everything they wanted to do. They now know. They've had that rich welcome. Father, let us be encouraged by people like that. And above all, Lord, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that's gone on ahead of us. And he's not left us as orphans. He's left us with his Holy Spirit inside of us to comfort us and strengthen us and give us power for all those things, as Millie had written down for us, all those things in your power. And Lord, thank you so much. You are not casting any of us out. In no way shall you cast any of us out. Father, thank you that you've overcome the world. In the meantime, we want to keep following you. We want to keep following you. And just thinking as I close my prayer, surely God is good. Good to Israel, yes. And in our day, good to every follower of Jesus Christ. In those who are pure in heart, well, it's his purity in our hearts. But Lord, we can say it. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.